Note, this is not the first case of UFO contact with our space vehicles recorded. However, the German UFO Nachrichten for the 15th of July 1969 reported UFO contact with Apollo 8. The last one lasting minutes during which time the capsule left its course. Pedro Romaniak of Argentina wrote in his book Distel Cosmos Nos Vigilant that the Russian Voskhod I encountered a UFO in orbit. The whole world had witnessed and listened to every step of man's voyage to the moon, but this message was obviously only meant for the ears of their control center-trat Houston. It is describing the strange object that has just come into view outside the capsule. The words of the three astronauts, each in turn in quick success soft-iron and sometimes overlapping, came across with excite soft-ment and an occasional touch of earthy jargon, BR5. High five. Holy son of a gun. Straight down the middle of the road. I have it. Outlandish. 42 degrees. Big. Its size is like the biggest freighter helicopter. What is it? I can't believe it. Amazing, holy catfish. 42 degrees. Big. It is from high ahead. Its falling speed amounts to 3500, coming down at about 99 feet per second. You can't hold him. I hope you can hear him. Right down the middle. Yes, continued Ibo, as the command pilot and his crew said, they could not believe what their own eyes were seeing. We must have looked a strange sight hovering there next to their disabled craft. I should imagine an astral craft must look strange to anyone who sees it for the first time. Later, after that first radio contact with the American astronauts, we became acquainted with them and soon we were friends. Twice during their return journey, we thought that we would have to transfer them to our ship as further problems occurred. But they were able to rectify these, and for the rest of the homeward journey we remained close to them. After they had safely entered Earth's atmosphere, we fared for a short way and wished our newfound friends farewell, and while we are here, we took this opportunity to make this transmission as we had a message for you from the commander of Melka. He asked me to inform you, continued Ibo, that Melka will contact you again as soon as it is possible to get through. At the moment they have a problem as they have to rely on a Byrian astral craft to relay their transmission, but as soon as such a craft is within range, they will contact you. Unfortunately, I must now end this direct transmission to you, as we have to resume our patrol duties. Farewell. It so happened that 2 days later, on April 19, 1970, there was a radio transmission from Melka. Cash Soft-Indo said he was glad to hear from Zibo that the Astro Soft-Nauts landed safely. He also said that they had been monitoring all recent manned Apollo moon missions at the request of one of Earth's governments. When your astronauts left for your moon, we full soft-outra progress, and on receipt of their distress signals, we contacted Calder's advising them of the plight of the occupants of the badly damaged craft. I was then informed by my superiors to send a message to the near soft-est astral craft, and Commander Ibo of the Cetonian Division happened to be in close proximity at the time. He responded immediately, and after he had located the damaged craft he accompanied them around your moon and then back to Earth. He finally left them, after they had safely entered your atmosphere. At regular intervals during the return journey, we on Melka were kept in soft-informed by Zibo regarding their progress. All of us in the center were relieved to hear they eventually made a safe landing on Earth. Cash and Othenship received listeners be saying that Melka had been honored by the visit of a special guest. He said that the guest was seated right before him while his Corinthian craft was being serviced below in the astral hangar area. It was the first time that a Corinthian craft had visited Melka. Cashendo said that their guest was none other than Commander Voldar of the 2nd Caldesian Astral Patrol Division. Voldar was apparently on a special mission for he, and 15 other commanders were on their way to Byron. But before handing over to Voldar, he added that Edwin must have missed hearing from his old friend, George. This was certainly true. Since the outbreak of hostilities on Calder's, Edwin had been anxiously awaiting news of his old friend. Greetings, my friends. This is Vulda. Edwin immediately recognized his voice, which broke soft-utback a flood of memories. It is wonderful to be able to speak to you once again by radio transmission. I often think of you, Ed, your wife Elizabeth, and those in your group whom I got to know so well. I therefore welcome this opportunity to re-establish the bond that there is between us. As you know, there has been a great change in our lives since Calder's was attacked by Goldonia. If you visited my planet now, you would notice a tremendous change in the people. Their sense of freedom, thirst for living, seems to have left them. No one on Calder's knows when the next missile attack will come. What a devastating effect these attacks are having on us. The people cringe each time they see a fleet of craft leaving, for they associate Ethis with more violence. I hope that our journey to Byron will change the situation. We are on a special mission there to collect 15 new Corinthian astral craft and are going so Thav can instruct Chusen how to operate them. Iakov, the pilot Saeve on board, will bring one of these latest models back to Calder's. With this device soft-iron we hope to break through the Goldonian defenses and bring an early end to their aggression. While exploring deep regions of space, the Corinthian division found the direction from which the Galdonian craft were coming, for they encountered concentric soft-shins of missiles there. This has halted their progress temporarily. We hope that with the combined strength of this new division, we will be able to breach their defenses. I personally think that this may be the turning point of the war. Voldar continued by giving more details of the new Corinthian craft, describing it as the ultimate in off-soft-ensive weapons which they have devised. It is a craft of immense proportions with large numbers of sun-ray disintegrators strategically placed, giving it an awesome capacity for annihilation. A veritable battlecruiser incorporating the last word in space translocation Karpa's soft-ability. Ita Strange, continued Voldar, to find that the Goldonians are very different from us in apsoft-erants. Even more puzzling is their mental makeup, for they appear to have an insatiable appetite for kill soft-ing and causing pain and anguish to others. They may have found peaceful Coldacen easy target in the past, but I hope soon we shall change the ideas of the people we call the Outer Worlds. In closing, Voldar said that he was asked to pass on best wishes from Clive Een, Commander Weora, Commander Kill and also Commander Mankton, all rising rapidly in their new military defense. They all promised to make radio contact again when it would be possible. Then, as if addressing Edwin personally, he said, I often think of those carefree times when we used to do our patrols over your planet Earth, and all those transmissions we used to make to you and the other bases. It gave us much pleasure. And now, you and Elizabeth have a baby Dorsoft-der. Ah yes, my friend Edwin, I can't get used to the idea that you are a father now. When I last saw you we were both single. Now we both have responsibilities. We are both older and I hope, wiser too. Do you remember the many hours we spent together? Keep up your spirits, Ed, for one day we shall surely meet again. But now I must end. To all my friends on the planet soft-et-earth. May God bless you. Physis Voldar, no handing over to Commander Kashendo. Kashendo said, that was Commander Voldar. I wish you could see him seated before me. He looks imp-soft-siv and his one-piece sky-blue Coldasian uniform with the gold epaulettes of a Corinthian commander. Yes, we are indeed honored to have him aboard this station with his crew and the Corinthian. We feel so much safer in his presence. I hope that they will pay this station a visit soon with a new fleet of Corinthians. We hope to make contact with you again so that you may hear Voldar tell us more of the exploits of these new craft. We must now close as the Byraean craft Responsi soft-blefortherele must continue in its journey. We can't delay them any longer. We thank them for relay soft-ing this transmission. Melka to Q base, farewell. When Kashendo's voice faded away the receiver was silent for the next 40 days. Chapter 7, A Planet on Her Knees. Very few people on Earth knew about the Goldonian War. Those who did were members and friends of the Consoft-Federation Q groups in many countries, who were kept informed of these events by circulating copies of tape recordings of transcripts of the transmissions. Did Edwin's group have the advantage of being located in the town chosen by Weora and his assistant Voldar during their training on Earth? Was it purely accidental that Edwin had more than a casual acquaintance with Voldar, who was later to command a Cold Asian fleet? Although communication with Colders during the war was very Ursoft-phonetic, they nevertheless went to extraordinary lengths to keep in touch with Edwin's Q group. By Earth's stand Soft-Ards, it is a complete mystery as to why they behaved like this. Today, however, there is a strong hint that future planetary events will make the Skshans more readily understandable. It was Voldar who came through one evening late in May 30, 1970, with the latest news of the war and the casualty list. In a solemn tone, he said that Golden Soft-Ear had struck a double blow at Colders. The one directed to the south was obviously a diversion which drew a sub-soft-stanchial part of Colders' main astral fleet. Goldonia then launched their main attack in the north, using a new weapon which turned out to be far more deadly than the guided missiles. They dropped thousands of containers filled with a potent virus. "Yes," said Voldar gravely, "Colders has indeed been brought to her knees." As soon as the plight of the northern towns was realized, thousands of craft were sent to evacuate the people from the stricken area. But as faster as people were evacuated, the faster the virus spread. Many died in agony before they could be rescued. Water and food became contaminated, causing many more to lose their lives. Vast numbers of the dead had to be hurriedly buried in mass graves. Then, not only was the virus alone in killing our people, but other dis-soft-eases spread as epidemics. Clearly Voldar was deeply moved by the horror of the latest attack on his planet. After Goldonia had dealt this terrifying blow, they transmitted a message to the people of Colders. This was the first time that they had communicated at all since they attacked. The words were in the Cold Asian language and warned that all Cold Asian towns would be subjected to the same treatment if Colders did not surrender immediately. Voldar continued saying, "You will recall that the last time I spoke to you, I was on my way to Byron. When I returned with the division of Corinthians, we set out immediately to continue the search for Goldonia. Our craft eventually found the planet which has brought us so much grief. We attacked three large cities which were completely destroyed. I think that Goldonia launched the virus attack in retaliation. It is now blow for blow. And many innocent people lose their lives." But Goldonia should not overlook one vital point, and that is, by soft-hacking one planet in the Confederation, they are in fact taking on all the other planets too. Byron has already responded when they heard of our plight by dispatching 15 Byraean Corinthian divisions to assist us. At present we are awaiting their arrival. There will be a total of 4,075 craft in all when the whole fleet has assembled, and we shall then strike Goldonia again. We either win or lose. With the aid of the Bisoft-Royan divisions, I feel that Goldonia will have little chance of surviving such a massive onslaught. Commander Weora has been put in charge of the fleet and will lead the campaign. I will be his second in command. It is remarkable that Voldar had such confidence in Edwin's Q group, that he could send such vital info Soft-Mashin on the eve of a major operation. Wasn't this a grave security risk? How about the possibility of outer world agents among Q group members? Anyway, he ended the radio transmission by expressing the hope that he would soon announce the end of the war. He also conveyed Weora's good wishes to all Q base members. Note: actually, Q base reception was quite well protected.